Chapter 6. I respawned to the last half of the ride to Carleone, and I skipped the conversation about the town's history with Alyssa, since I already knew all the information. When we approached the walls, I halted before the guards signaled for us to do so, and I immediately swung my legs over Goliath's withers to slide off the saddle like a professional. The two guards eyed me curiously, but they didn't move to block the entrance to the town. "Good morning, Sergeant Jack," I said as I greeted the man on the left. Then I turned to nod at the other guard. "Finn, how are you today?"
"Why, how did you know our names?"
Jack's mouth hung agape, and the two men shot each other questioning glances.
"I am the God of Time," I explained in my most godly voice. "I know all things."
"Careful, Jack," Finn warned.
I held up my hand to halt his words, and his eyes widened in surprise.
"I am not a wizard, Finn, so stop thinking that."
"You can read my thoughts?"
Finn gasped and rushed toward me.
What am I thinking right now?"
"You are confused and amazed by my power?"
I guessed, based on his facial expression.
"God of Time, you said?"
Finn squeaked out, which I took for confirmation that my guess had been accurate.
"Wow."
Sergeant Jack shook his head in amazement.
"It's an honor to meet you, oh great one."
Should we escort you to the mayor?"
Finn asked, and he shot his commanding officer a challenging expression.
"I could vacate my post to show the Great One around Carleone."
That will not be necessary," I quickly said. "I already know all about your town."
"Ow."
The sergeant blinked as he processed my refusal.
"Of course, Great One. You know best."
"Carry on, men." I saluted the two guardsmen, and then I led my horse into the town. Jack and Finn snapped a salute back at me and stood at attention while I passed by them. Carleone was bigger than Bastionville, and it was organized in one neat row along either side of the main road. The mountainsides walled off the left and right of the town, and walls covered the gap between them to form a narrow rectangle shape. People milled around the street. Some carried baskets balanced on their hips or heads, and others had bundles of furs or meat thrown onto their backs. But it seemed like everyone was hard at work. The buildings of Carleone were in slightly better condition than the ones in Bastionville, but they looked to be made out of the same kind of timber as Elrin's house and the inn. I also only noticed a couple that were boarded up, compared to the handfuls in Bastionville. Then I saw a wooden sign advertising rooms and food hanging in front of a building a couple of blocks ahead, and I signaled to the women to stay close as I maneuvered Goliath down the busy street. The townspeople seemed downtrodden and dirty, and I didn't see a single smile anywhere. I knew their mine was drying up, so I was sure money had gotten tight. Carleone needed the God of Time to help it thrive. I grinned as the familiar excitement coursed through my veins. I loved a good challenge, and fixing this town's problem in one day would certainly be one. A stable hand rushed down from the porch of the inn and tipped his hat to me.
"Afternoon, sir!"
The lad called up to me.
"Are you going to the inn? I'll take your horses to the stable for a copper."
"All right." I grinned down at the kid as I fished around inside my belt pouch for a copper coin and tossed it to him before sliding off Goliath's back. Then I helped Alyssa to dismount from Star, but Mahini leapt from Warrior's back with a practiced ease. The boy led our steeds away, and the three of us climbed the stairs up to the inn. The aroma of fresh-baked bread wafted out from the entrance, and I followed my nose and growling stomach inside. Then I made a new save point as I opened the door. A woman looked up at us with a big friendly smile as soon as we entered. The dining room was sparsely populated, with only a handful of people scattered about. They all wore the same dejected expression as the people I'd encountered outside, but the woman who was quickly approaching wore a happy face.
"Lovely to see some new faces. My name's Nelly. I suppose you are travellers in need of some warm food? Perhaps a soft bed. I can soothe all your ails. Just follow me."
"Bless you," I replied with a grin. This woman was speaking my language. We followed her over to an empty table, and she gestured for us to get comfortable.
I'll send cook out with a special. It's a copper each for dinner, and two each for the night.
We will only need one room. Price seems a bit steep.
Well, there's nowhere else to rent a bed in all of Carleone.
The woman assured me, as she cocked her hip to one side. Huh. Apparently, she didn't appreciate my attempt at haggling. Toria over in Bastionville would never treat me this way, I said with furrowed eyebrows.
Toria, she's in Addington, not Bastionville. They renamed the town in Sebastian's honor.
Alyssa interjected with a proud gleam in her emerald eyes.
He saved us from many dangers in a few short days. Who's Sebastian?
The woman wrinkled her nose as she glanced at each of our faces. I lifted my hand up like a student who'd been called on by his teacher, and I cleared my throat. I was the god of time, and I needed to get used to being the center of attention. That would be me. I am Sebastian, the god of time, and I am in Carleone to help the town thrive like I did in Addington. The woman hissed. She stared into my eyes for a long moment, almost as though she could see into my soul. But I kept my expression neutral.
What can you do to help us? Things have gotten bad around here lately. We lost 3 guardsmen just last week, and the mine has practically dried up.
I wasn't satisfied with her reaction to me. Now, everyone in Carleone had to be totally convinced of my godhood in order for me to have 100% completion. So, I reset my previous save to use the knowledge she'd given me to my advantage.
Ding!
I entered the inn for the second time, and I waved to Nelly with my best smile on my face. Nelly! I greeted her like I'd known her my whole life. Toria sends her love, and she said not to swindle us.
Do I know you?
Nelly asked with a confused expression.
I don't remember seeing you around here before.
I have never been here before, but I am the god of time. I know everything about you, Nelly. I know you've been worried about the people of Carleone ever since the death of 3 guardsmen, and I am here to ease your fears.
Well, what can I do for you?
Nelly's confused look remained firmly in place. I have come to save Carleone. The mine is drying up, and many of your miners are out of work. I can help everyone, just like I did to Bastionville.
It's true. He saved my town in only a few days. Can it be?
Nellie's confusion was quickly shifting to awe.
Could you truly be the Great One of Prophecy?
Oh, that I am. I bowed with a flourish. A pleasure to meet you.
Carleone could use some good news after everything we've been through.
She shook her head again, but this time to dispel her internal thoughts. Then she turned and gave me a radiant smile.
I would love to be of service to you, Great One.
So, a copper for 3 dinners, and 1 more for the room? I asked with my most flirtatious smile. The innkeeper giggled like a young girl, and she wrung her hands on her apron.
All right.
She agreed, and she shook her head in awe as she accepted the 2 copper coins from me. After a short while, the promised dinner arrived. It was a warm, creamy potato soup with a bowl of grapes and hunks of fresh buttery bread on the side. I was definitely eager to dig into a hot meal after the long day we'd just had. Once we'd finished our meal, Alyssa announced she was going to take a nap, since the fight with the kobolds as well as the day of riding had exhausted her. Mahini and I bade her a sweet rest, and then the 2 of us headed out into Carleone to explore. Jax's forge didn't have a smelter for coins, so the copper harvested from the mine used to be hauled to Carleone to get turned into money. Elrin had sent me with several hunks of unrefined copper to smelt, so the forge was our first destination. Plus, I loved seeing the excitement on Mahini's face at the prospect of new weapons and armor. We stopped by the stables to grab the copper ore and some of the looted kobold weapons from our saddlebags, and I directed the stable boy to take the rest of our belongings up to our room. But I warned him not to wake up my wife. Then we continued on, until I heard the ping of a blacksmith's hammer, and Mahini's piercing blue eyes lit up with joy at the noise. I chuckled to myself as I wrapped an arm around her shoulders and turned in the direction of the sounds of the forge. We followed the sound of the dinging hammer to the edge of town, where the river cut inside the city walls beneath a low archway. The opening in the wall wasn't big enough for anything but the water to move through, and the heat of the blacksmith's hearth accompanied the rushing waters. An impossibly tall, bald man with dark skin stood with his back to us and leaned over the anvil. The large hammer swung in his hand like it was a feather, and the rippling muscles in his exposed arms glistened with sweat. He reminded me of John Henry. I cleared my throat, and the hammer paused in mid-air. I put on my best smile and motioned for Mahini to do the same. The desert goddess frowned for an instant, but then her lips curled upward the slightest bit. Good enough.
What do you want?
The blacksmith turned to give us a hot glare. We're visiting from the town formerly known as Addington. Jax said there was a decent forge here in Carleone, and I'm fascinated by smithing, so we decided to drop by.
Formerly known as Addington.
The blacksmith crossed his arms over his chest as he raised one eyebrow.
Yes.
Mahini nodded.
It was renamed after the Great One, Sebastian. So it is now called Bastionville.
Who is this Great One, then?
He asked in a gruff voice as his dark eyes darted between Mahini and me.
That would be me.
I bowed with a flourish and grinned even wider. I am the god of time, but you can call me Bash.
Bash, huh?
The blacksmith seemed skeptical still, but his glare eased into a neutral appraisal.
I'm Malachi, but you can call me Mac, like everyone else in this shithole does.
I couldn't tell if the nickname was something he enjoyed or not, since he didn't seem to appreciate the townspeople of Carleone referring to him by it. But I ignored the hostility in his voice and eyed his anvil.
Nice to meet you, Mac,
I said, as I analyzed the blade he'd been working. You've got the makings of a fine sword there.
You have an eye for quality.
Mac chuckled and beckoned me in closer. I let out the breath I'd apparently been holding and crossed the distance to the anvil. I shot a grin at Mahini over my shoulder, but the desert goddess merely leaned against the doorframe with a blank expression. Her mercenary training was coming out, and she was obviously on the alert. I could tell she didn't trust any of these townspeople, but she would soon realize she wasn't in any danger with me around. What kind of metal are you using? I asked as I eyed the freshly formed sword.
Steel, for now.
Mac answered as he picked up the blade with his tongs and tossed it back into the fiery hearth. He pumped the bellows a few times before he turned back to me.
I've got a bit of malachite from the mine that I'm going to turn into copper and start working with. If you're sticking around for a few days, you could see what I come up with.
We're only staying one night, unfortunately. Maybe on my way back home we will stop by.
It's a beautiful, icy green rock.
The blacksmith rumbled, and his desire to possess the stone was blatant in his dark eyes.
Of course, I said, since that was the common ore that made the metal.
It turns into copper.
Mac continued as if he didn't hear me, and his eyes had a faraway, wistful look that made me think the dude really loved gems and minerals.
Good for meal cooking, but the metal is soft, so they aren't great for combat.
I would love to see it,
I said as I gave him a friendly smile. I actually brought some copper here. I heard you can mint them into coins.
Yeah.
He cleared his throat and looked down as I set the rough ingots on his anvil. We are going to visit the Duke. Can you send the coins back to Bastionville once you're done minting them?
Yeah.
He repeated as he looked at the copper.
I heard that Bastionville was having a goblin problem with their mine.
Not anymore. I fixed it. And that is why I need to talk to the Duke. We need to open up trade again.
Oh.
He nodded.
Well, I'll have these coins ready for your town soon.
Sounds great, I said.
Smithing was awesome, and I really looked forward to mastering the skill with all sorts of different metals.
If you're interested in the tradesman,
Max said after a few moments of silence,
you should go speak to our tanner. I may be comparable in skill to your Jax, but our tanner is the best for many miles around.
Bastionville doesn't have a tanner, right? I looked to Mahini to confirm. A dark look crossed her face.
Not anymore.
I sighed. We'd have to fill that position eventually, but maybe Carleone's tanner would recommend someone looking for work. All right, thanks for the advice, I said. Before we left, I sold the blacksmith the looted kobold weapons, since none of them were powerful enough for me to keep, and then he gave us directions to the tanner's business. Overall, I was very pleased with the interaction, since I didn't even have to reset to a previous save to get on Mac's good side. I was just that awesome, I supposed. Mahini and I waved goodbye before we headed back into the main street of Carleone. The distraught and bummed-out expressions on everyone's faces was starting to get creepy, and I really hoped I could figure out how to help the town before the end of the day. We were almost to the tanner's house when we literally bumped into a person with a huge bundle of skins on his back.
"Oops, oh, sorry,"
the man muttered from beneath his heavy load.
"I'm almost home, and I wasn't looking where I was going."
"Here, let me help," I insisted, and I took the bundle of skins from his back. The man let out an exhale as I took his load, and he turned to give me a grateful grin. He had shaggy brown hair that fell to his shoulders, and the wrinkles around his eyes suggested he was in his later years. His brown eyes were warm, and so was his smile, but there was a hint of pain behind his expression.
Oh, right this way. Not too far,"
he said as he led the way to the tanner's house. I think you're actually who we are here to see," I said as my eyebrows shot up in surprise. "Are you the tanner?"
"Aye,"
he answered with a nod.
"Name's Cliff."
"I'm Bash," I said, and I placed the bundle of skins down on the porch in front of his house so I could shake his hand.
"Pleasure,"
Cliff said, and he gave me another friendly smile.
"Hey, what can I do for you today? After helping me carry my skins, I feel the need to reward you."
I took a moment to create a new save point, just in case the tanner declined my request for a lesson in his trade, and I took a deep breath before I approached the question.
"Well, if you could show me some of what you do, I would consider it reward enough."
"Ah! Hey, you wish to learn the secrets of the furs, eh?" "Hey."
Cliff raised an eyebrow and gave me an appraising look.
"My apprentice is on a trading trip for me at the moment, so I could use some help processing the skin I got today. How's your bladder?"
"My bladder?" I asked in utter confusion.
"Aye! Your bladder!"
Cliff barked out a laugh and placed his hands on his hips.
"Oh, you really don't know much about tanning, do you?"
I think you'd be surprised how quickly I learn," I informed him with my chin raised.
"Yeah, we'll see."
Cliff jerked his chin toward the house behind him.
"Come on in. Ignore the smell. Comes with the job."
We ducked inside his house, and the putrid scent of death, decay, and ammonia filled my nostrils. The scent clung to the air like a dense cloud, and my eyes stung. I blinked back tears of pain and squinted to see the path Cliff took through the barrels and baskets that filled the front room. Cliff led me to a back room where three tables were tucked into one corner. Another corner had several wooden frames of various shapes and sizes, and the last area held wooden barrels in a large stack.
"Well, the first thing we do is scrape the bulk of the gore from the inside of the skin,"
Cliff explained, in a voice that showed he was used to teaching.
"Fortunately, that's already done, so we can skip that step."
"All right, so what's next?" I glanced around the room, spotted a couple of pegs with aprons hanging from them, and grabbed one to place around my neck.
"Well, next, you bring those skins in here, but lay the bundle on one of the tables over there,"
Cliff said as he pointed to the corner with the workbenches. He seemed to be enjoying bossing me around, so I was excited to see his face when I mastered his skill on the first try. Well, the first try from his perspective, anyway. After I brought in the skins, Cliff cut open the bundle and spread them out. I saw the fur of cows, goats, and deer, as well as something I suspected was a horse skin. Ugh, I shuddered to think about my Goliath becoming leather armor, but maybe the pelt came from a horse that died of natural causes. Then Cliff showed me how to strip the legs and neck from the skin so only the largest section of the torso remained, and the discarded pieces were all thrown into a barrel full of some
stinky liquid that I didn't want to get too close to. It made a hissing sound as the random strips of hide disappeared beneath the surface, and I shuddered again as I imagined the acidic ingredients included in the mixture.
"Do you need some water?"
Cliff asked as he clipped the skins to a rope that ran halfway up the wall. The bottom of the skins dragged on the floor, but the tanner didn't seem to care.
No. Why?
I asked with a frown. What was this guy's obsession with my hydration and bladder about?
"Oh, you need it for the next step,"
he explained. Then he positioned himself in front of the first skin, unbuckled his pants, and began to piss into an empty barrel.
I grimaced and turned away, and Mahini's silent frown spoke volumes as her eyes looked everywhere but at the tanner.
Oh, done. Now it's your turn.
What do you need the pee for?
I gave him a skeptical look as my hands hovered over my belt. Cliff sighed dramatically and motioned for me to come closer to the barrel.
It strips the hair and muck from the skins, young man. I'm not trying to steal your pee for anything creepy. Come on.
Oh, I laughed and ran a hand through my hair.
Oh, you've never tanned anything a day in your life, have you?
Cliff shook his head, like this was the biggest tragedy of the century. I didn't answer, but I resolved myself to learn everything I could, and then restart and come in like a total badass. So I pulled on a pair of gloves before Cliff showed me how to sponge the urine mixture onto the skins.
The smells made me nauseous, but I swallowed hard and kept going. When we were finished with the first step, we rinsed all the skins in the river outside, brought them back in, and stored them inside barrels.
Then the tanner opened a row of barrels and pulled out some skins that had already been soaking in the mixture.
I like to stagger my skins, so I always have something to work with,
he explained, as he showed me how smooth and pliant the leather he held was.
Yeah, this has been soaking for a while. We'll rinse it, scrape it some more to make it even more pliable, and then it will be ready to stain.
He showed me how to stretch the skins onto a frame, and I worked the leather until my hair was soaked with sweat. I smelled of urine, and my clothes were filthy, but I was determined to get the full lesson while I could. Cliff rubbed a gross mixture all over the finished skins, and then rolled them back up and placed them inside barrels once more.
After I wash those tomorrow, and they will be ready to stain.
He brushed the animal shit from his hands and then placed them on his hips. Do you have any ready to stain? I glanced over at the stack of barrels in the corner.
Nope,
Cliff said with a shake of his head.
Yeah, I've got some ore stains coming from the lake town in a couple of days. Oh, they have a true turning master over there. Taught me everything I know.
Oh, I'll have to go visit him and see what he can teach me, I said, mostly to myself. Then I focused on the moment right before we entered the tanner's house where I'd made a save point.
Ding!
I know the basics of tanning, but I'd love to see your technique, I told the tanner who had just offered me a reward.
You know some tanning,
Cliff curled his eyebrow in a questioning manner.
How's your bladder?
Full and ready. I chirped, and I shot a sideways glance at Mahini just in time to see the look of total confusion flash across her beautiful face.
Worth it.
The tanner led us inside, but I made sure to bring the fresh skins with me this time. Then I made myself at home in Cliff's workshop, and I cut open the bundles and began to spread them out, just like the tanner had during my first run-through. Cliff's eyebrows shot up in surprise as he watched me handle the skins like I'd done it my whole life. I started trimming without being directed, and the tanner rushed over to check my handiwork, pointed out a few flaws, and moved to take over.
Ding!
I received fewer critiques on my trim job this go-round, and once that was completed, I immediately moved toward the empty barrel.
Need some water?
I asked the tanner with a cocky smile.
What are you doing, Great One?
Mahini asked as she shot me a warning look.
Relax, my love, I said with a wide smile.
Urine is required to process the hides.
Oh.
The desert goddess frowned, and she looked to the tanner for confirmation.
Oh, no, he's right. Oh, it's been a while since I got to talk to another man of my trade. Tell me, do you prefer elk or bison skin?
Neither. I replied in a vague tone as I turned my attention back to the empty barrel. I emptied my bladder and refastened my pants, and then I gestured to the barrels full of skins ready to stretch. Cliff, let's work on the ones you started soaking yesterday. They should be ready to de-hair by now.
Well, how did you know?
Cliff's mouth hung open, and his eyes darted from Mahini to me like a cornered animal.
Did you break into my house?
Relax,
Mahini said as she raised her hands placatingly.
My master is the god of time, and he knows all things.
By God?
Cliff snapped his mouth shut and frowned deeply.
Bah! It's impossible.
Very possible. I shrugged. I don't expect you to believe me, but I know these skins are ready to be worked today, and I've never stepped foot inside your house before. I only arrived in Carleone a short while ago.
I don't know what to think.
Cliff shook his head in awe.
Only my apprentice knows what is kept inside his barrel. It's impossible for you to know. Unless what you say is true, could it be?
It is. I set my jaw in a hard line. I was torn between skipping the whole basking in the presence of a god thing or just moving forward with learning to tan. I stared at the tanner with a neutral expression while he fought his internal battle. His eyes glistened with hope as he stared back at me, and I realized I'd already convinced him.
Aye. It is an honor to have you in my shop, go great one.
Cliff broke the silence with a low bow that almost had his nose scraping the floor.
Please,
just call me Bash.
All right, then. Oh, Bash it is.
Cliff gave me an odd look and then shook his head again like he was trying to wake himself up from a dream. Listen, Cliff, I said when I realized he wouldn't be teaching me anything else for the day. I need to speak to the leader of the town, Carlisle. Do you know where I could find him?
Oh, he'll be at the tavern already. He'll be deep in the drinks, though, so you might get a better conversation out of him in the morning.
I don't have a lot of time to spend in town, but thanks for the tip.
Let me know if there's anything else I can help you with before you leave Carleone.
Cliff insisted as he shook my hand enthusiastically.
It was a pleasure to meet you, Great One. Please come back.
I'll come back through, I assured him. Then I focused on my power and felt the familiar tingling sensation spread throughout my body.
Ding!
This would be my last attempt, but I didn't want the tanner to have any memory of me asking him questions about the mayor, since I already knew everything. Well, the townspeople all needed to think so, at least. I went through the same motions of helping Cliff haul the skins inside, and when I started to trim them, his eyebrows shot up in surprise at my skill. I carved the extra pieces off with precision and a steady hand, and then I went through the process of revealing my god status to him. The only difference during my final attempt was leaving without asking Cliff about the mayor. The stoic warrior woman at my side said nothing as we crossed the distance to the tavern, but she laid a hand on my forearm to halt me before we entered.
What are you doing here?
She asked as she eyed the front door of the bar.
Oh, this is where the Mayor Carlisle will be,
I explained with a knowing smile. Mahini shook her head in awe, and she opened her mouth like she was going to say something, but then closed it again.
I just want to say, it's been an honor to be by your side as you meet these people,
the desert goddess finally said in a low, reverent tone.
You handle these people with a polite dignity that, well, you're quite benevolent. You truly are the great one we all need, and I'm honored that you have taken me as one of your lovers.
Thank you, Mahini, I said in my most loving voice as my throat filled with emotion.
You know, you're pretty great yourself.
I am incomparably mortal beside your greatness,
she argued with a fervent shake of her head. I decided to change her mind about that, even if it took me a million lifetimes to do it. I made a new save point, and the familiar tingling washed over me like a glass of warm milk before bed. Then I pulled open the tavern door and ushered her in before me.
I made my way to the dirty bar at the far end of the room, and I glanced around at the people scowling into their drinks as I passed through the common room. No one in Carleone was happy, it seemed. I leaned over the bar to get the bartender's attention, and I eyed the old man on the stool beside me while I waited. He had a bald spot on the back of his head, but the rest of his scalp was covered in salt-and-pepper hair. His long, grungy beard looked like it hadn't been washed in weeks, and he wore a saggy gray tunic with a black sash wrapped around the waist. He looked like a homeless man and a noble all at once, and I wondered who he could be.
What do you want?
The bartender asked as he ran a dirty towel inside a beer mug and eyed me suspiciously from the other side of the bar.
I'm looking for Carlyle,
I said with a small frown. Ugh, these people needed to lighten the fuck up already.
Yep. Fuck off.
The older man beside me muttered, and he pushed off from his bar stool and moved to an empty table.
That's him.
There. The bartender said, and he jerked his chin toward the older man with the salt-and-pepper hair and the sour attitude.
Careful. He's been in here since noon.
Ah, just fucking great. I'd found the mayor of the town only to discover he was a pissed-off drunk who looked like a homeless man. Carleone was in dire straits, and it was up to me to fix it, even if it meant playing nice with an asshole mayor.
Is that any way to speak to a god?
I asked Mahini, and the dark-haired goddess shrugged.
He doesn't seem to be the friendliest mayor around,
she quipped with an arched eyebrow. I wanted to hack the conversation with the mayor, since it was already obvious to me I would need several attempts to get on his good side. If he even had a good side, anyway. Still, I was set on winning this encounter, so I'd just have to figure something out.
Maybe things are different in Corleone,
Mahini suggested when I didn't respond. But I could tell from her voice that she didn't truly believe it. Carleone was in a bad situation, and they needed my help, so I took a deep breath and crossed the distance to Carlyle's table. Can I buy a drink? I offered with a friendly smile.
I have a tab,
the mayor of Carleone replied in a gruff voice.
I don't need your handouts.
Well, then, can I sit with you? I summoned all the patience I possessed and ignored the hostility in his tone.
No!
Carlyle glared up at me.
Go away.
All right. So a head-on direct approach didn't work.
Ding!
This time I ordered 3 beers before I moved to Carlyle's table with Mahini at my side, and I slid the extra mug across the surface to the mayor with a friendly smile. Well, that one's on me, I said, and I took a long swig of my own beer before Carlyle could argue.
Thanks.
The mayor grumbled under his breath, and then he drained his mug in one long gulp.
I'd love to hear more about Carleone,
I started to say, but Carlyle held up his hand to stop me.
I don't feel like talking to strangers today,
the mayor said in a voice that left no room for argument.
Scram.
Well, this grump was a tough nut to crack, but I was determined to get him to talk to me.
Ding!
On my next attempt, I tried to intimidate the mayor with my physical strength.
Listen here, you grumpy asshole, I growled in my most powerful tone. You're going to talk to me, or else. Guards!
Carlyle shouted, and an instant later, 2 men in leather armor stepped forward from the shadows and grabbed both my arms.
Ding!
This bastard wasn't going to get the better of me. I had another trick up my sleeve, and something told me it was the one thing Carlyle couldn't resist. I led Mahini out of the tavern the moment I respawned, but she stopped to give me a questioning look as the door fell shut behind us.
You're giving up on the mayor already?
She asked with a confused expression.
I thought you wanted to talk to him.
He's in a bad mood today, but I think I know what will warm him up to us.
What is that, great one?
Mahini asked as her eyebrows shot up in surprise.
My secret weapon?
I informed her with a mischievous grin.
Alyssa.
So, we jogged down the street to the inn, and I dashed up the stairs to our room where my wife was napping. The beautiful redhead blinked her dazzling green eyes at me when I entered the bedroom, and she let out a long, slow yawn. I need you, I informed her in an urgent tone. Alyssa gave me a sly smile and pulled up the bed sheets to reveal her completely naked, porcelain-skinned body.
Come here.
I growled with desire, but I resisted the urge to ravish her right then and there. I wanted to get this mayor thing out of the way. And besides, there'd be plenty of time for ravishing later. I had all the time in the world, after all. I'm sorry, my love. I need your other skills right now.
Oh?
Alyssa gave me a joyful grin.
My other skills? What can I do for you, my husband?
Well, Carlyle won't talk to me if I'm on my own. I need you to come with me to get through his dark funk. If he knew you when you were a little girl, he'll be overjoyed to see what a fine young lady you've become.
I'd love to see Uncle Carl.
Alyssa hopped out of bed and scurried over to her luggage, and then she pulled out a demure blue dress and tugged it on over her head.
Here, help me with the straps, please.
I crossed the room as she turned her head back toward me, and I tightened the straps that ran up her spine until the dress clung to her porcelain curves like it had been painted on. I spun her around in my arms until her breasts were pressed against my chest, and then I seized her mouth in a deep, passionate kiss. Ugh, she tasted like bubblegum, and I knew I was quickly getting addicted to her sweet flavors. You are my secret weapon. I murmured against her slightly parted lips.
I like the sound of that.
You look lovely, I said as I pushed her an arm's length away and gave her a scrutinizing look. Yep, all right. Now, no time to waste. Let's go see your Uncle Carl. Alyssa practically pranced from the room and out of the inn to the main street of Carleone. Her fiery red hair waved behind her like a flag, and the look in her shining emerald eyes melted my heart. Mahini watched my wife dance ahead of us with a wry smirk on her face, but she kept a hand on the hilt of her sword, just in case. I caught the townspeople staring at the trio of us, and I wondered what we looked like from their eyes. I never thought of myself as particularly handsome, but here I had two of the most beautiful women I'd ever met by my sides. And it, certainly did a lot to enhance my image. I made a mental note to introduce myself to all the people of Carleone once I'd finished my conversation with the mayor. Ugh, I couldn't wait to see the look on his face when I reset and had all his citizens' names memorized and problems solved seemingly instantaneously. Ugh, that had to be one of the best parts of my powers, being able to enjoy the awestruck expressions on everyone's faces when I kicked ass and took names. No one had spotted our skirmish with the kobolds, so I'd have to rely on my charisma and memory to get the town of Carleone on my side. It was a challenge I was totally up for. By the time we reached the tavern, excitement bloomed inside my stomach and set my blood on fire, and I could hardly wait to walk in with Alyssa and Mahini at my side.
Uncle Carlyle!
My fiery red-haired wife exclaimed as soon as we entered the tavern, and she rushed over to the mayor's table and wrapped her arms around his neck in a tight embrace. Carlyle blinked stupidly over her shoulder at Mahini and me, but then it was like a light bulb went off in his dome, and his eyes widened. He returned my wife's embrace and then pushed her away to get a good look at her.
What? Can it be?
The mayor of Carleone shook his head in disbelief.
Well, little Lissy?
I'm all grown up now.
Alyssa chirped, and then she turned to beckon me forward.
I even got married to a god.
A what? Carlyle turned to give me a wide-eyed, incredulous look.
Did you say? A god?
Yes, Uncle Carl.
Alyssa nodded with utter seriousness.
Sebastian saved our town, and then he rescued me from having to marry the Duke's son. He's my hero, and I love him so much.
She gave me a heart-eyed expression and clasped my hand warmly in hers. I returned the squeeze, gave her a loving smile, and then turned to give the mayor a small bow. It is a pleasure to meet you, Mayor Carlyle.
Stop with the mayor nonsense. You can call me Uncle Carl, and that's final. Bingo.
My secret weapon had worked perfectly. Yes, sir, Uncle Carl. I laughed. I signaled to the barkeep to bring four mugs to the mayor's table, and then I pulled out chairs for my women. Mahini sat on my right, while Alyssa sat to my left, and I positioned myself across from Carlisle. When the barkeep brought over our beers, I slid one across the table to the mayor and gestured for him to drink up. Time to loosen those lips.
Well, tell me everything,
Carlisle urged Alyssa.
Will you... You said your new husband saved Addington?
His name is Sebastian, and he is the god of time.
Alyssa announced in a proud tone.
We renamed Addington to Bastionville to honor his heroic deeds. He wants to help your town as well.
Carleone is beyond anyone's help. Even a god, I'm afraid.
Nonsense!
Alyssa dismissed with a wave of her hand.
Nothing is beyond Bash's power. He's amazing, Uncle Carl, trust me.
Carlisle looked from Alyssa's earnest face to my neutral one a few times, and I could see the doubt in his eyes, but then his shoulders sagged as he sighed.
If you say so, dear Lissy, then I'm inclined to believe you. You've always had your mother's spirit. It's hard to deny you anything.
Alyssa's emerald green eyes welled with emotion, but no tears spilled out onto her cheeks. Then she clasped Carlisle's hand in hers and gave him a wordless smile.
Have no fear,
I said in my most godly voice.
I will help your town before the day is done.
What can you do?
Carlisle shook his head as his doubt once again overpowered him.
Can you make a mine run free after a drought?
I cannot, I said. But then I gave him a smirk. But I can redirect your unemployed miners to a fresher mine in need of workers.
Oh, I heard the mine in Addington. Oh, yeah, sorry. Bastionville was overrun by goblins.
Was. I shrugged. Nothing me and my warrior maiden couldn't handle. I inclined my head toward Mahini as I spoke, and the desert goddess blushed but remained silent. She was always more stoic and tight-lipped when in public, and being in a new town had heightened that trait in her.
You cleared out all the goblins with just the two of you?
Carl's mouth gaped open in shock.
It's unbelievable! You truly must be a god.
Please, tell me how I can help Carleone.
Well, it's been a right mess.
Carlisle took a long swig of his beer and emptied his mug.
I'd given up my salary and stopped working the mines myself. I wanted to save the ore for men who needed it more than I did, but things have just continued to get even worse.
How so?
With so many people out of work, the homeless crisis in Carleone has gotten out of hand. I've opened up my home to those without, but now it feels like more of a hostel than a house I built 10 years ago.
Well, like I said, the goblins are gone, and the population of Bastionville is really taking a hit with all the kobold raids and the mine being shut down. I raised an eyebrow and gave Carlisle a pointed look. Maybe we could come to some sort of agreement that aids both of our towns.
Is old Elrin dead, then?
Carlisle eyed me subtly, but I was aware of his every movement.
Far from it.
Alyssa assured him with a happy grin.
In fact, he's been able to let go of some of the responsibilities of leadership to the new council, and I think the extra downtime will be good for his health.
Ha! I can't argue that one.
The mayor of Carleone agreed.
My health has taken a fall ever since I opened my house to the less fortunate. Can't get a minute of peace to myself. Everybody always wants something from me.
I'd like to relieve you of some of your burden, I offered with a grin. Send your homeless and unemployed to Bastionville. They'll be able to work in the mines, and I can send a portion of our earnings here to pay you for the workers.
That's all I'd need to do?
Carlisle blinked at me like this was the best news he'd heard in months.
Just send him away.
Well, if you could spare some mules, carts, and more pickaxes, we'd appreciate it. The goblins made a mess of all the supplies inside the mine, so we're basically starting over from scratch.
Yeah, I doubt that. Even a halfway dug of mine is far from starting from scratch. Well, last time I visited, back when Elrin was thinking of founding Addington, old Elrin showed me some rich veins of copper ore in that mountain. I bet it could be worked for generations without pause.
Are we in agreement, then? Workers? Mules, carts, and tools?
What? Sounds doable.
Carlyle nodded, and a glimmer of hope bloomed in his eyes.
My house will be mine again.
I resisted the urge to pump my fist in victory. Plenty of time for that later.
Business is done, right?
Alyssa asked as she bounced up and down in her chair.
Will you show us around Corleone now, Uncle Carl?
Of course, Lissy.
The mayor replied with a bright smile. It was amazing how the expression transformed his face. Gone was the surly guy who'd grumbled at me during every attempt, and he was replaced by a middle-aged man with a full life of joy ahead of him. It was quite the sight to see, and I was glad to say I'd played a part in making it happen. We drank one more round of beers while Alyssa caught Carlyle up on everything that had happened in her town since he'd last heard from her father, and then the four of us exited the tavern to walk down the main street of Carleone. I made a new save point so I could reload to that moment, and then I followed the mayor out into his town. The sun was beginning to set, but the well-lit street was bustling with activity. Even though people shouted their wares and some waved fresh-cooked food up in the air, there was still a feeling of melancholy in the atmosphere. The heat of day was ebbing, and a coolness settled onto my skin as we walked. It was peaceful, but gloomy, and I was more motivated than ever to lift the mood of the town.
Annette! Come here!
Carlyle called to a woman who sighed dramatically when she heard her name called.
There's someone I'd like you to meet.
I don't have time for this call.
It will just take a moment.
The older woman had graying hair pulled back into a loose bun, and she wore a modest gray dress and a stained yellow apron. She shook her head at the mayor's request, but she still made her way over to us.
This is Sebastian, the God of Time,
Carlyle said in a formal voice as he gestured to me.
Well, he's married to my adopted niece, Lissy here.
Alyssa gave the woman a curtsy and a smile, but Annette was blind to my wife's greeting since her eyes were locked onto me.
God of Time, you say?
She murmured in an almost hypnotized voice, and she threw herself at my feet and began to sob.
Please, sir, please bring him back to me. He was my heart, and now he's gone.
Who is gone? I asked as I placed a hand below her armpit to pull her to a stand.
My cat Henry!
Annette wailed with a new fountain of tears bursting out from her eyes.
I've heard him dead this morning. You've got a time so you can turn back time and save him, please, sir. He meant the world to me.
Unfortunately, I cannot cheat death. I lied. The truth was I could, but only for myself. I see another cat in your future, though. One sweeter and more loving than Henry ever was.
Nothing can replace my Henry.
Annette wailed, and she turned away from me as her shoulders shook with emotion.
I suppose fixing my pain is beyond the ability of a god.
I will heal your heart, Annette. I promised, and I meant it. Just as soon as I figured out how.
I'm nothing left to lose by waiting.
It took everything in me not to reset to my last save point, but I reminded myself I would fix her problem later when I reset for the final go-round in Carleone, and then everyone would only think of me as a great and awe-inspiring deity. Still, I made a mental note to figure out how to help the distraught woman. I couldn't magically make her cat come back to life any more than I could snap my fingers and make a new kitten appear, but in a town this size, I was certain I'd find something to lift Annette's spirits. The next person we ran into was an elderly-looking man Carlyle introduced to me as Cody. He was leading a horse down the street, and the mare had a limp in her hind leg. It was obvious he was upset, and I had to assume it was about his steed being lame. Cody, is it? What's wrong with your horse?
She threw a shoe in the corral,
The old man explained as he patted the mare's neck affectionately.
Poor girl hasn't been walking the same ever since.
Are you on your way to the blacksmith?
I was on my way to beg him to help me. I don't have the money to pay him, though. Or any weapons to trade with. I know he's always looking for extra steel, but I already bartered my last sword to pay for my pickaxe.
I nodded as I thought over how I could help his situation. I had extra weapons I could give him to trade, and I was sure the small kind gesture would have rippling waves of positivity that went throughout the whole town. Yeah. Once I'd settled on a plan for my final reset, we continued on with our tour of the town. Our next stop was the general store, and a tall, buff man with a deep brown beard stood behind the counter.
Evening, Bruce. I'd like to introduce you to our guest of honor, Sebastian, the God of Time himself.
The God of Time. Bruce whistled low and eyed me appreciatively.
Does that mean you can go back in time?
Sort of. I shrugged and remained vague. Why?
Well, I'd love to go back in time and see you stole from my shop last night,
the general store owner explained.
My most valuable piece of jewelry was stolen, but nothing else was touched. The fact that they only took the ring means it had to be local. Don't suppose you'll send out a search party, huh, Carl?
The lack of respect for the mayor in Bruce's voice was blatant, and I wondered if there was any point in trying to fix the store owner's opinion of his leader. I'd already decided to find this missing ring someone had stolen, though, since he sounded convinced it was someone from Carleone who'd taken it.
You know I can't do that,
Carl said in a cajoling voice.
You can file a complaint with my assistant, and I will forward it to the town guardsman, and I'll keep an eye out for your missing ring.
My stolen ring, you mean? Bruce corrected in a hiss, and he narrowed his eyes at the mayor. I will find it, I announced.
Really?
Bruce blinked at me a few times, and then a grin split his bearded face.
That's wonderful news. How exactly are you going to do it, though?
I have my ways. I grinned back at the store owner, since his smile was infectious. I got a description of the stolen ring, and I promised I'd bring it straight back to Bruce when I found it. Then the four of us headed back out to the main street. Our next stop was to meet a family of five who were seated by the side of the street with a box laid out on the pavement in front of them. The father was a balding, rotund man named Gene Hill, and his three daughters were so similar in appearance I would have assumed they were triplets, had they not proudly told me who was the oldest and the youngest. Kara, Sarah, and Jarrah were adorable, but not nearly as cute as the contents of the box.
Kittens!
Alyssa giggled. I did a little happy dance as I realized one of my problems was already solved. A kitten would be perfect for Annette, so I made a mental note of the family's location, and then we continued onward. We were almost to the end of the street when a man on a horse trotted past and almost knocked into me.
Hey, watch where you're going!
I shouted as I swiveled to get a good look at who I'd almost barreled into. The light of a nearby torch flickered off a piece of silver jewelry on one of his fingers, and I inhaled sharply. It could be the stolen ring.
Stop that man!
I called out as I pointed to the guy on the horse. Carlyle looked from me to the horse rider, and then he gestured for the people on the street to obey.
Do as he says! Stop, Hal!
The man named Hal almost collided with a bunch of people who'd rushed into the street to surround him. Once he'd pulled his horse to a stop and was looking around, trying to figure out why the townspeople had circled his horse, I strode through the crowd with my head held high.
Show me the ring on your finger,
I commanded in my god voice.
Now!
The man the mayor had called Hal jumped at the sharpness of my voice, and he swallowed hard as he slowly removed the ring from his finger. His hands were shaking as he dropped the circlet into my palm, and I barely had to glance at it to see it was the ring stolen from the general store.
Where did you get this?
I questioned in a hard tone.
I
Hal sighed and hung his head.
I stole it. I was just on my way out of town to sell it, please, sir. It is of little importance, and I need to feed my family.
How much will you sell it for? I pulled out a bag of coins from my side pouch and rattled them pointedly.
You wish to buy it?
I wish to give you money to feed your family, I explained, and I tossed him the bag of copper coins I'd brought with me.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Hal gushed as he clasped the small leather bag in his fist like it was full of pure diamonds. Stop stealing to make ends meet, I commanded him with furrowed eyebrows. If you need work, you will find it mining in Bastionville to the west.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Hal said, and he saluted me. I returned to Carlisle, Alyssa, and Mahini with the ring clutched in my hands.
How did you know that man had Bruce's ring?
Carlisle asked in a breathy voice. I chuckled to myself. I'm a god, Uncle Carl, remember?
What? A god is calling me uncle.
Carl shook his head in awe.
What have I done to deserve this blessing?
You're doing plenty to earn my blessing. Now, let's continue meeting the rest of your people. I used a few resets back to my save point so I could meet the rest of the populace of Carleone, and I tucked away everyone's names for later. Then I reset to the moment where we'd left the tavern, and I started over for the final run-through. This time, I wanted to amaze everyone with my knowledge, so I called to Annette as soon as I saw her distraught face in the crowd.
Annette! Darling! I have a surprise for you.
I hollered at the sad woman. The elder lady came up to me with curious eyes, but her nose wrinkled as she sniffled over recently shed tears.
Do I know you?
She asked in a confused tone. I know you, I explained with a friendly smile. I also know you have suffered a great loss. I am sorry. Henry will be missed by many.
You know about my poor Henry.
The older woman's tears became too much for her to withhold, and they came out in a torrential downpour of emotion to carve deep rivulets in the dirt on her face. I know all things, as I am Sebastian, the god of time.
How do I know you're a god?
Annette asked as she narrowed her eyes.
For all I know, someone might have tipped you off about my dead cat, and you're using it to take advantage of me. I won't fall for it! Ding!
Annette, darling! I am so sorry to learn of Henry's passing, but he would not want you to be sad. I beckoned for the older woman to come over, and I laid a comforting hand on her shoulder. As the god of time, I have foreseen a new beloved entering your life. Go to the tailor's shop, and you will discover your next love.
God of time!
Annette gasped, and this time she was nothing but wide eyes and open-mouthed awestruck.
Yes, of course. I will go straight away.
Then the gray-haired woman squeezed my hands warmly and gave me a broad smile before she turned and ran down the street like a child chasing the ice cream truck.
How did you know all of that?
Carlisle asked in total surprise. He'd stared in wonder as I'd spoken to Annette, but Alyssa and Mahini shot him knowing smiles the whole time.
I know all things, I said in a solemn voice.
Carlisle nodded sagely, but remained silent. Then we ran into Cody.
Cody!
I greeted him before the mayor could open his mouth. A word, please, before you head over to Max Forge.
Yes, sir?
Cody looked from Carlisle to me in confusion, but he tugged on his horse's lead rope and led her over to where we stood.
Oh, what can I do for you?
It's more what can I do for you, I said as I pulled some coins out from my pocket. Here's a few copper to pay for your horse's thrown shoe. She can't be without it for much longer, or she'll go lame.
Oi. You would really do that for me?
Cody stared at me in bewilderment.
Who even are you?
Let me introduce you to Sebastian,
Carlyle said with a flourish of his hands and a small smile.
The God of Time.
The God of Time, you say?
Cody shook his head in awe.
I need to get a shot, but I have nothing left to trade.
You traded your last bit of steel for a pickaxe, I said, as I nodded knowingly.
How did you know that?
He's the God of Time, silly.
Alyssa giggled, but her eyes were wide and full of adoration as she gazed up at me.
He knows everything.
By the time we'd made our way about halfway through the town, a crowd had formed around me. The people all rushed forward to request blessings or to touch me briefly. I obliged them all with a benevolent smile, and I soaked up the awestruck expression on the mayor's face like it was a cold drink on a hot day. Then my final task was to stop Hal from riding out of town with the ring. I scanned the streets for him, spotted him on his horse a block away, and jerked my chin in his direction. Let's go talk to Hal next, I suggested. Carlyle nodded, but he seemed too spellbound by my presence to say anything. I absorbed the moment for a few breaths before I led everyone down the street toward the thief.
Hal is the stable master at the inn,
Carlyle explained as we walked. He has something that doesn't belong to him, I countered. Mahini shot me a questioning look, and I gave her a subtle shake of my head to indicate I couldn't explain yet. Then I stepped out into the road right in front of Hal's horse, and I grabbed the reins to pull the beast of burden to a stop.
Who the fuck do you think you are?
Hal growled as he yanked the reins from my hands. I am the God of Time, I smirked. The ring on your finger was stolen from the general store, and it needs to be returned.
What?
Hal's right hand immediately shot to cover the ring on his left.
What? How did you know that?
Is this true, Hal?
Carlyle asked, with a stern expression on his face.
Did you steal from Bruce?
I just need to feed my family, sir.
Hal moaned as he hung his head.
I had nothing.
You won't have nothing any longer. Hand me the ring, and I'll give you some copper coins. I won't stand by while your family is starving. During my previous attempts, I'd tried everything from intimidation to calling for his arrest, but the townspeople always reacted to me very poorly when I tried those methods. So I'd ended up just playing the generous god, since my main goal was to lift the spirits of the citizens and not to seek justice. Hal considered my words for a long moment, and then he nodded and slipped the ring off from his finger. He handed it to me with a sigh, but his eyes lit up when he accepted the purse of coins from me. I wasn't entirely sure how far he'd be able to stretch a handful of coppers, but it was better than winding up in jail. If you need work, head to Bastionville. The mine is up and running, and they need all the able bodies they can find.
I will do that,
Hal murmured as he jiggled the bag of coins in his hand to feel its weight. We bade him good night, and then we took the stolen ring back to Bruce at the general store. I greeted the burly shop owner like I'd known him my whole life, and a few moments after, giving him back his jewelry, I had him laughing and calling me Lord Bash like we were the best of friends. I liked the guy, for sure, but I was more than happy I'd managed to help him out in some way.
You're so powerful, Bash.
Alyssa murmured into my ear as she sidled up against me.
It's amazing. Oh, and very sexy.
Alyssa and Mahini had watched me greeting all the townspeople with desire burning in their eyes. Each time I already knew someone's name, I saw Alyssa lick her lips, and with each problem solved, Mahini's piercing blue gaze drove even deeper into me. The desert goddess couldn't take her eyes off me, and my body was growing hot from her attention. Ahem! I had to push all thoughts of fucking my sexy women out of my mind to avoid having a boner in the middle of the store. but it was good to know my powers had such a strong effect on the two of them. While we were in his store, we purchased the rest of the camping gear and food we would need for the rest of our travels. We arranged for everything to be taken to the inn by Bruce's assistant, and then we headed toward bed. I eagerly plopped down onto the mattress, and then each of my women began to gently scratch my scalp as they told me how wonderful I was. I wanted to fuck them, and I knew they'd been building all day toward it, but I was mentally exhausted, so I was snoring in a matter of moments. And I woke up mid-morning, nestled between my two lovers' sleeping bodies. We left for the port city of Kilwick, our next destination en route to the Duke's castle, after a quick breakfast. The stable boy made good on his promise to take proper care of our horses and mule, and all of our steeds were eager to head out by the time we loaded all of our new supplies into our saddlebags. The road was wide and easy to travel, so the three of us rode abreast down the middle of the lane. We made idle conversation about the various wildlife we saw along the way, and then we stopped to have a midday meal next to a small creek. While I worked on heating up the bread, dried meat, and roasted vegetables Nelly had sent with us, Mahini pulled out a fishing pole she'd purchased from the general store in Carleone. I was highly entertained by watching her teach Alyssa how to fish. The warrior woman caught multiple bass and something that resembled a trout, but the fiery redhead couldn't get more than a bite. During one especially daunting moment, Alyssa pulled against the line with all her might, and the petite goddess pouted as the fish managed to evade her grasp. Suddenly, the line snapped, the two women were sent backwards onto their asses, and the fish splashed into the water before darting away. The wave landed on Alyssa, and her lovely blue dress was immediately soaked through. Mahini and I burst out laughing as we watched her stomp away from the creek bed and dig through her saddlebags for clean, dry clothes.
"Do you know how to fish, Great One?"
the desert goddess asked as she cleaned the fish she'd caught and strung them on a line. "Of course," I replied instantly. "Doesn't everyone?" Alyssa snorted, but she didn't comment any further. I laughed again, and then I scooped the warm vegetables onto three plates and added some of the dried meat and bread before I handed a dish to each woman. "Eat up. We have a full day of riding ahead of us."
"Just so long as there is no more fishing."
Alyssa pouted, and she flicked her long, flame-colored tendrils over her shoulder. Her sass stirred something in my blood, and I started to salivate as I thought about how I'd use that attitude for my own amusement later. After we'd eaten our fill, we packed up our small picnic and continued on our way. We traveled for several hours, without anything interesting happening, and then I spotted horses and people on the path ahead. As we got closer, I saw it was a small band of around 10 people surrounding a wagon, heavy with bulging sacks and large crates. The people all wore long green robes that swept the dirt at their feet, and the cowls over their heads prevented me from getting a good look at their faces from a distance. I waved my hand over my head to signal we were friendly, and as our two groups met up, I was pleased to see some smiles among the other travelers.
"How goes your journey?"
a woman at the lead of the group asked. She eyed the horses and the mule with a knowing eye, and once satisfied, she turned her gray-blue eyes back to me.
"You have not been on the road very long, I take it?"
"We have not," I replied with my best smile. "It's been an easy day so far. How have you all fared out here in the wide open world?"
"We have encountered some trouble to the north,"
the woman answered, and she inclined her head to a young man sitting on the bench in the wagon.
"Thankfully, our guardian here managed to get us to safety before any lives were lost."
"Oh, I'm sorry to hear that." I frowned. If a group of 10 could be attacked, then, well, our party of 3 was even more vulnerable. These travelers didn't have the God of Time on their side, though, so they were more at risk than we were.
"Our last stop was in Kilwick. The city is louder than when I last visited."
"Oh, it's our next destination," I shared with a nod. "We just came from Carleone and Bastionville before that."
"Bastionville?"
The woman tilted her head to the side as she pronounced the foreign word.
"I have never heard of such a place, and I know the area well. We sell our goods in all the towns along the river to the south of here."
"Oh, well, it used to be called Addington," I informed her with a wry grin. Then they renamed it after me. Sebastian.
I see.
Her face remained neutral and impossible to read.
I have been to Addington before, but it was many years ago, right after the town was founded.
Well, Bastionville could use a visit from a merchant, I said in an optimistic voice. Perhaps you would like to revisit?
We are looking for a good blacksmith. Very few rival the work of Jackstam, though, so I believe your advice is sound. We will bring your well wishes to the people.
Awesome. I grinned. Yeah, I think Jax is just the man to look for if you're in the market for some new weapons.
We sell ore, and we have a delivery to make in Carleon.
I wondered for a moment why she was being so open with me. But her last statement made everything make sense. Her people were less than a day away from their next destination, so they felt safe enough to speak to strangers on the road about their plans. My mind raced over the possibilities of new ore. Well, Jax would certainly be excited to get some new material to work with, and the quality of my own future weapons would be greatly increased if I had better metal to forge. After we exchanged a few more polite questions, our two groups went our separate ways, and a few hours later we spotted Kilwick. The city shone like a beacon of light, even though dusk had settled in around the edges of the horizon. The light pollution shone like an orange halo above the buildings, and it was so distracting I almost didn't realize a key detail. The entire town was built on top of the lake. It was like an extravagant dock on steroids, each platform connected to the others with rope bridges that bobbed on the water, but the waves weren't strong enough to move the heavier foundations beneath the buildings. Elissa didn't react to the breathtaking view of the city, which made me think she'd seen it before, because Mahini's face was lit up like she was opening Christmas presents. It was rare to see that level of emotion on the stoic warrior woman's face, so I took a moment to drink it in. Then I turned and scanned the signs attached to the outside of the closest buildings. They were all written in fancy old English lettering, but there were pictures painted to the side that showed examples of what each business sold. Suddenly I saw one of the signs had a deck of cards painted on it, and on the wooden plank below that was an image of coins. It was a gambling house, and judging by the size of the building, it could have easily rivaled the riverboat casinos in my old world. Oh, fuck yeah. I grinned and turned to my two women with my eagerness painted across my face. Are you both ready for me to make us a shitload of gold? The god of time could hack a casino in his sleep, which meant we'd be sleeping easy from here on out. And I couldn't wait to get started.